cycle of life. The dreadful cycle of life, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 15. Now we as a people are time obsessed. We think appropriate timing will lead to success. You know, even in telling a joke, a well-timed punchline, you know, everyone will laugh, but if you're just 1 second off, people will be scratching their heads. Some of you have mastered the art of joke telling, and some of you should stop telling jokes. You see, that was right timing, wasn't it? Right? Right timing also on the grill produces a juicy burger, but bad timing ruins it. And similarly, right timing produces a light, fluffy cake, but any time shorter or longer, you get a flat pancake, right? Which was unintentional. You know, early diagnosis of a disease leads to mostly effective treatment, but late diagnosis hurts a person's chances for survival. Now, knowing when to buy a house, when to borrow, when to invest leads to financial independence, but not knowing when to borrow, when to invest may lead you into greater debt. And for many of you students, you know, taking the right course in the right school at the right time will give you greater job opportunities, but taking the wrong course and the wrong time may land you no job at all. So right timing does help, but at the same time, right timing doesn't always help. You know, you may work hard, you may have great success because timing was on your side, and when it's time for you to retire, you can't enjoy it because health is not on your side. Or you may have had the right course at the right time, at the right school, you even have the right job, and after some measure of success, the job market is now saturated with others better than you, younger than you, and because they came to the job market at the right time, it's the wrong time for you, no matter how much success you had. You know, farmers may plant at the right time each year, but weather patterns may not be right, and so there's no harvest that year, no matter how right their timing was in the first place. Now, a woman may conceive and dreams of her child in 9 months, the right time, but war breaks out at the 8th month. So right timing doesn't guarantee anything. We may try to do the best to get the right timing for success, but there are no guarantees, none whatsoever. And so here we come to Ecclesiastes 3, a much-loved chapter, and I believe in my heart that it is much-loved because it's much misunderstood. All right? We see here God makes all things beautiful in his time. So we think, what a wonderful passage that is. But I think it is loved because it is misunderstood. But when it is understood rightly, I believe that it is still much loved, not because we find joy in getting our timing right, but we find joy in going to God when we don't get the timing right. Now, there are 3 points in this message. Firstly, the realities of our life cycle. The realities of our life cycle. Secondly, God inflicts this dreadful life cycle on us for a purpose. God inflicts it on us for a purpose. And thirdly, there can be joy in the midst of the dread. There can be joy in the midst of the dread. So firstly, the realities of our life cycle. Now, teens who have just come back from teens camp, try and stay awake, would you? Right? All right, so firstly, the realities of our life cycle. And the first thing we learn here is that God is sovereign, as Johnson said. God is sovereign, and he is the one who determines what happens in our lives. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a reason and a time to every purpose under heaven. So there is a purpose under heaven. Now the words time and season, they roughly have the same meaning. They do not necessarily speak about the length of time, but a specific point in time. So everything, every timing of everything that happens in your life is purposed by God. It is appointed. Now, if you recall, in Acts 1, before Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were asking him, when will the kingdom be restored to Israel? And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. Now, that's a very important verse. It tells us everything that happens in our life, we really have no control over it. God is the one who controls everything, all the times, all the seasons. It's under his power. So these times in our life, they have been set by a sovereign God. Now, man doesn't know it. Man was not consulted. Oh, is this the time you want to get married? Okay, fine. I'll write it in my book of life. Oh, is this the time that you want to have kids? Boy or girl? Which one? Oh, okay. Boy, right? We weren't consulted. This didn't happen. God decides whatever he wants. And therefore, whatever happens in our life is not an accident. Even though these are things that we can't control, God has ordained them, and they are for his purposes. Things happen, don't they? In life, things happen. And these things are not in our control. Now, the second thing that we learn about this life cycle that we have is that these things listed from 2 to 9, right, they encompass all the events of our life cycle. And all of us have many different events. The preacher here takes us through 14 sets of opposites. So he mentions 28 things: life, death, gather, cast, away, breakdown, build. So 28 of this. But if you were to crystallize it further, these are 7 sets of life events. So 14 things are grouped into pairs. So what are these life events that all of us go through? Without exception, all of us go through. Well, verse 2 seems to say that life is short. Your life is short. There is an appointed time that we are born, an appointed time that we die, and God knows when they will occur. We don't know when they will occur, right? And this is also the same in the plant world. Plants will be planted, others will be uprooted. There are seasons in life. So we are born into this world, and soon enough, we are in the grave. You know, the Nike commercial, or is it Reebok? I can't remember. As soon as the child is born, it shoots out of its mother, and it goes, and it grows, and all the way, it falls into its grave. And that's why you have the motto, life is short. Am I ancient or something? It's Reebok, I think. Play hard. Life is short. Play hard. But life is short, pray hard. Life is short, pray hard. But that's what verse 2 says. Life is short. Every 8 seconds a person dies. Every 3 seconds someone is born. Now, not only is life short, but verse 3 also tells us that this life cycle that we go through will have creative elements. It will have destructive elements. There will be times of killing in our lifetime, times of healing, times of breaking down, and times of building up. You know, who knows whether in our lifetime, whether we will experience war. Well, there's plenty of war going on here. It just so happens that we live in a part of Australia where there is no war. Part of the world, there's no war. But we could be living anywhere else where there could be wars, and then there could be peace treaties which are made. You know, there could be times of healing where nations come together in peace. So this is part of our life cycle. You know, we turn on the news and we hear bombing here, missile there, and then the Singapore summit where, you know, peace was signed. Now, verse 4 tells us another part of life, what our life events will encompass. And it tells us here that our life will be filled with human emotions. We all want our life to be happy, right? It ain't gonna happen. There will be sad times. In fact, what Johnson said, there are more down times than there are up times. And that's true, isn't it? There are more down times than there are up times. There will be times when we experience weeping. There will be times of laughing, times of mourning, times of dancing. So both sorrow and joy are part of life. And if you don't have sorrow, you won't have joy. If you don't have joy, you won't know what sorrow is. So in life, we will encounter a whole range of emotions. You know, at one moment, we'll be like on a mountain peak, and at another time, we will be in the valley low. So human emotions. Now, verse 5 tells us that our life cycle will be filled with human interactions as well. Intimacy. Now, the phrase for cast away stones and gather stones is a bit uncertain. What does this mean? Well, some Bible commentators take it to refer to marriage intimacy, okay? You know, and, you know, married couples, if this is really the case, you know that this is true. Sometimes you feel close and intimate. You feel very loving. You feel very romantic. And other times, you just can't wait to get the person out of the room, right? And, you know, this goes the same with, you know, embracing or not embracing. So in life, you will have love and coldness. I mean, you can expand the application as well among friends. Sometimes you're close. You know, we have friendship, and at other times, we just lose that friendship, right? So there's intimacy, there's human interaction, etc. And in verse 6, it tells us that our life cycle will include times of wealth, and it will include times of poverty. There will be times in our life when we will have plenty, where we can get a lot, and then there are times when we will lose them. It's like making investments. It's like savings, right? Have you ever saved and saved and saved and you finally have enough for a holiday and suddenly the roof caves in? The money that you have gathered, now you have to use for the roof. Or you finally have enough to pay back your mortgage in one lump sum and then you fall sick, right? Some of you have gained so much money, and all of this time you are happily gaining it, and then the tax office writes you a letter and says, pay it back. Pay. Give the money, right? Even your possessions. You buy clothes, and then you've got so many clothes, and then you have to get rid of them. They go into the Good Sammy's bin. How many of you are like me and my wife? You buy and you keep buying and you have all of these things and you store it. And then when it's time, when you finally want to look for it, where is it? Where did I put it? I can't remember where it is, right? So you have it, but you can't find it. This is life. This is a life event. All of us experience this. And verse 7 speaks about the times of sadness and the times when we should stop being sad. You know, life is filled with tragedy. You know, when people in the Old Testament, when they mourned, they would rend their clothes, they would tear their clothes, and they would be silent. This is like David, you know, when his son was very, very sick. He was mourning, he was fasting, he kept silent. But then when his son finally died, that was the time for him to stop. There's a time to cry, there's a time to rend, there's a time, right, not to be silent anymore, where life goes on per normal. And verse 8, it speaks about our affections. There are times when everything is good, when we love one another and there's peace, everything is hunky-dory, but then misunderstanding sets in, we rub each other the wrong way, there will be times when we will hate. So there are times when we love, there are times we hate, there are times when we will have our own wars. And really, if you look at all of life, this happens in the family, this happens at work, it happens everywhere in life where there are people. So where there are people, there will be hatred, there will be misunderstanding, there will be wars, there will be conflict, but there will also be love, etc., etc. So what Solomon is speaking about here is that there is a life cycle. Now, of course, no one wants a short life, but is that up to us? No, it's not. It is appointed by God. There's a season. You wish that life, especially young people, were one big party, but then disease sets in. You wish that the times of your youth would never end. Then after you hit 25, what's that there? What's there? It's a crow's feet. You know, you wish all of these things would never end. You wish you will always have that first romantic love in your marriage. And then the next thing you know, there's great animosity. You know, you wish the clothes you bought last year, you could still fit into this year. All right? There is a season. There is a time for everything. This is the reality of life. Now, I think the thing that we need to understand here so we have a better appreciation of these passages is that the preacher is not giving a precept. He is not giving instructions. He's not making a value judgment. He is not saying that there are times in your life that you must do this. There are times in your life that you must love, and that there are times in your life that you must hate. He is not saying that. He's not giving an instruction, and he's not making a value judgment. He's not saying that loving is good and hating is bad. He's not saying that killing is good and preserving life is bad. Because sometimes killing is good, don't you agree? There are times when people have to go to war. They have to kill, right? There are times when hating is actually good. You hate sin. You hate unrighteousness. So he's not making a value judgment. He's basically saying that in life, stuff like this happens. And they happen in their own time, which have been appointed by God. Right, these things are a map of our lives. We will live, rejoice, dance, gain, lose loved ones, hate, and mourn. And there are times of great joy where we're dancing, and there are times of great mourning where we can't even put one foot in front of another. And while we may prefer to dance than to mourn, it's not up to us. We are the ones who experience these things. We're not the ones who determine these things, because God is the one who determines these things, and there is a time to everything under heaven. So, you still like this poem? Right? God makes all things beautiful. Now, we come to the second point. What is the purpose of this life cycle? Why does God give these things to us? I mean, it seems so dreadful. Not everything is happy. There's sadness, there's war. Why does God inflict this dreadful cycle of life on us? He does it for a purpose. Verse 9, of course, Solomon asks, what's the purpose? What's the profit? Why did God give all of these things to us? Why the birth, death, plant, pluck, kill, heal, break, build, weep, laugh, mourn, dance? Why all of these things that he give to us in our lives? For a very specific purpose. Now, as we read this, the thing that hits us first seems very unsettling. Verse 10 and 11, it says, I have seen the travail, the burden, the hard work, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised or to be burdened by. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. So the first thing that we see here is that God has given us this burden of a difficult life. And he has appointed a time for everything. Now the word here says beautiful, but actually it means suitable. The word beautiful means suitable. All right, God has a suitable timing, a perfect timing for everything. So sorry to burst your bubble, you know, we have that Maranatha singer's hymn, right? In his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. All right, so the beauty here does not necessarily speak about joy, but it speaks about suitability. So even the terrible things that happen in our lives, in the sight of God, it is the right time. It is a beautiful time. It is a suitable time, right? So the money that we may have and the lack of health to enjoy it, it's a suitable time for God. It is suitable. The initial happiness in marriage and the present difficulties, it's suitable. God has ordained it as such. The great job that you have and the threat of redundancy, beautiful in his sight. It is suitable. It's all done by God because they are all suitable to him. To him, they are beautiful because he has a specific purpose. So the question then is, what is the purpose? Why does God give us this messiness in our lives? You know why? So that we can ask. Why? Do you ever find yourself going through problems and you ask yourself, why? Why, God? Why me? God gives these things to us so that we can ask this question. And that's intentional on God's part, that we would question out of frustration in our life. You know, verse 11, and I think that's an important verse. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, this needs some explanation. He has put the world, or he has put eternity in us. You know, is eternity big? Yeah, right? Is the world big? Is the universe big? Yeah. So the purpose, it's a metaphor. You know, the preacher is saying God has put this big vacuum in us, this giant question mark in us. We will never understand everything. All right, this question mark that is as big as the world, so we would ask the question, why? And some of us don't understand our life. You know, I've heard of people who at sickness after sickness after sickness, test after test, discomfort after discomfort, and the question that they ask is, I don't understand. Why me? Right? Or sometimes God gives us the good things in life. You know, he sets us up, and then the bad things come, and we find ourselves asking, why? What's the purpose? And what is the purpose? So that we can see how small we are. So that we can know how ignorant we are In all of these things that God has given to us, we do not understand. And that's what it says in verse 11. No man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And when we don't understand, when we are confronted with all of these burdens in our life, the result is that we will fear God. Verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. You know, we all know that saying, right? When there are good things in our life, we forget God. But when there is trouble in our life, we go to God. And so why do we have this kind of life cycle? All of these things, so that God would have us come to him, that we would fear him. God did these things so that we might submit to his plan, we may be dependent on him, we may realize that we are his creatures, that he alone is creator. So God intends by our lives to humble us, that we would see his greatness, that we would see our smallness. Now, what happens? What happens when we come to this realization that God is big and we are small, that his purposes are infinite, and that we can't understand all of it? There are two possibilities. One possibility is something that many of us fall into. We despair, right? We despair. Why doesn't God give me what I want? I've prayed for it. Why do I keep falling sick? You know, why can't, you know, I've saved so much for this holiday, and now I've got to use the money elsewhere. I've done all of these things. You know, nothing seems to work. So the first reason is, or the first thing that many, many people, even Christians, we do is we despair. We despair, right? We think there's no hope, and we fall into this doldrums. But the one who fears God in this seemingly messy life, he can enjoy, he can find joy in life. The one who fears God will submit to him, and even in the dreadfulness of life, he can find joy. And that's the last point. Verse 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. So one of the faithful responses that we Christians give to the messiness of life is to make the most of it. We may not understand why things happen to us, but God has called us to enjoy life, to do good in the time that he has given to us. So even in the midst of sickness, suppose you're there in the hospital room with tubes up your hands and up your nose and into your carotid, you know, as you're lying down there, you can marvel at how you have one of the world's best medical treatments, crafted by men who were created in the image of God. You can rejoice in the fact that God has given you doctors and nurses. Now, on the way home, because it's end of financial year, you had to work extra long hours, and you find yourself battling traffic with everyone else who had to work long hours. You're stuck in the freeway, and the rush hour traffic is so bad that all of you are at a standstill, and you look up, and you look to the side of your car, and you marvel. How beautiful is that sunset? I would never have noticed it if the roads were free, and now you marvel at God's creation. Well, cars aren't moving. I might as well enjoy the view. And while you need to fold all the clothes that you took out of the dryer the night before because guests are coming in the afternoon, you can breathe in the scent. You can feel the softness of that fluffy towel next to your face. You enjoy life. And even though you got your hands dirty fertilizing your mango tree with chicken poo, you can take a step back and admire the foliage of the tree and how you hope and pray that you will have fine mangoes at the end of the season. There is nothing better than to enjoy your labor. As dreadful as the life cycle is, God gives it to us as a gift. This is how our life will be until heaven. You know, teens, your life is going to suck. It will, at one point or another. And parents desire to rescue you from that, to give you the best, so that you don't have any pain. It's not going to happen. You will feel pain, and you will rejoice as you look to God. You're going to ask the question, why, a lot in your life. You're going to ask it. And the answer is very simple. God ordained it. It is beautiful in His sight. You won't understand everything. So in the midst of the messiness, make the best of your life. Enjoy it. Enjoy it in Christ. But one day, you will understand. You know, we may have no control over our birth, our death. We may have no control over our seasons and times because it is not for us to determine those things. These are the secret things that we do not know. But what is given to us is to live rightly, to enjoy the gifts, to trust in Christ alone, to cling to Him by faith. So when things get messy, when things get weary, we're to trust in Him. So if there's any certainty in life, it is this, that you belong to Christ, nothing that happens is outside of His will, and one day you will understand all things when you're in heaven. But until then, we are given this lot to live under this dreadful cycle, but to live by faith and to find joy in Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can ask why, so that we are drawn closer to Christ. Lord, all things don't make sense to us, and how desperate some of us are to make our lives perfect. But we thank You that we can be free from such an idolatry, that we may receive from Your hands the things which are good and the things which are bad, for they are all appointed by You. Give us more faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.